Politeness fosters respect and empathy towards others. Don't we want everyone to be polite to us? By teaching children to use please, thank you, and excuse me, they learn to acknowledge the value and dignity of others. This cultivates an attitude of empathy and understanding towards people from diverse backgrounds and perspectives. How can you help your little one learn to be respectful and polite? Well, today's guest has been on my show before, and his resources never, ever disappoint us.
We all know that parenting is hard work and life can get busy. We've done the research to help you. So let's dig deep with Leanne Mancini and work together to help you raise strong Christian kids.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Raising Christian Kids. I am so happy to have Champ Thornton on the show again, and we've had him before, so make sure you listen to his previous episode. But he is the acquisitions editor at Crossway and the author of a number of books for kids and families, including The Really Radical Book for Kids, The Radical Book for Kids, Wonders of His Love, The Serpent Slayer and the Scrolls of Riddles, Why Do We Say Goodnight, and Why Do We Say Thank You? And I love every single book Champ puts out. They are all amazing. They need to be in every parent's library for their kids. Welcome back, Champ.
Leanne, thank you for having me back on. It's good to talk with you today.
Well, please tell us about your newest book, Why Do We Say Thank You? And when the young boy in the book wakes up, he can't find anything nice to say about anything. Did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
Apparently, he's waking up on the wrong side of the bed every day because he is just grumpy and bored and very difficult to get along with. And I've got three kids, and I'm not saying that any of them are like this. Maybe I'm saying that all of us are like this from time to time. But we know what it's like, right? When we just kind of think like life is out of sorts and nothing's really that great. And that's kind of a common human experience. And I wanted to tap into that because in contrast to that, we should live lives of thankfulness.
Absolutely. It's such a cute book. Can you give us a little bit more about the book and the illustrations?
Yeah, I love the illustrations. They're by Brad Woodard, and he just brings the fun factor. And so the story starts off, and you got a little boy, and he's waking up, and it's all told kind of in Dr. Seuss kind of rhymes, right? So it's meant to be fun and kind of galloping along, and the boy is grumpy about everything, even the best things. I mean, he's got pancakes with all sorts of wonderful things at breakfast, and then he's going to the zoo, and the animals are no fun, even though they're really cool. And then they're going to the park to play with friends, and then that's boring, and goes home, and even watching TV is boring. And then the little boy goes to bed, and his dad prays with him, and he prays with him in such a way that kind of helps him think through that being thankful means seeing that God is the source of all the things that we experience in life. And then he goes to sleep, and he has kind of a fitful dream, and in his dream, and it's all kind of pretend, right? This dream sequence, he's able to see the source of everything. He kind of replays his day. And in that replay, he sees, oh, God made breakfast that good. And the zoo and the animals are amazing because God made them that way. And my friends, they're not weird. God made all of them wonderful and unique. And even me, he made wonderful and unique. And he is able to, as it were, see the source, to tracing the beauty of the things around him back up to the creator. He's thankful. When he wakes up, he realizes, oh, I've been looking at everything wrong.
I just love this book. I think it's, you know, so it's a much needed book today because we see so many people out there that are not appreciative of anything. They can't even say thank you. I have a personal problem with people. If I open up a door for them or hold a door open and they walk by me as if I'm their personal doorman, they can't say a simple thank you. So I think it's so important we teach our kids how to have gratitude early in life and how to be thankful for the many blessings they have.
Yeah, it's so true. And like someone has said that the real conundrum about Thanksgiving for secular people is, who are you thanking, right? And the reality is like, you think about the book of Romans, it starts off talking about, here's someone who doesn't acknowledge God at all. And then it has a really interesting phrase that you just kind of go, oh, I didn't expect that. It says they didn't acknowledge God and neither were thankful. What? Why is that in there? Because when you kind of box God off and you paint him out of the room, then who are you going to be thankful to? And the answer is no one. because the reason we enjoy the things we have and we say, oh, I'm so thankful for that, is because it's coming from someone and we want to say thank you to him. Just like when someone walks through a door and you're holding it for them, you think, hey, I'm right here. Say thank you to me. Well, God holds the door for every molecule of our life. And he expects us to go, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's so simple. In my class, apologetics class that I've taught at the college, I would always say, what about the atheist? He opens up the window, he looks out at the bright sunny day and the beautiful blue sky and the beautiful weather, and he says, thank you for this day. Who is he thanking?
Yep, exactly.
Right? Well, the boy's biggest complaint is that everything is as boring can be. So how does boredom and gratitude go hand in hand?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a little counterintuitive, but if you think about it, if you really pause and think about life and you think about how amazing pick a food, you know, pizza is, right? And the fact that you have a tongue that has taste buds that correlate with different kinds of flavors that you enjoy, the more you pinch and zoom on any one detail in life, you can say thank you, but also your mind's kind of blown, like, that's incredible. When you look at the complexity and the beauty and the harmony and the balance of life, then what in the world is there to be bored about?
And I also think that sometimes kids will say, I'm bored. Moms hate to hear that. I'm bored. There's nothing to do. Boredom gives them a time to sit and maybe reflect, gives them time to be critical thinkers of what to do next instead of jumping in and trying to save them from their boredom also.
Yeah. And so when will they stop and think, okay, I'm bored. That's not a end of life kind of problem. It's not a end of the world here. It's okay to be bored, like you said, and stop and think and consider. And then if you really are thankful, start going around the room, pick items. Okay, think about that. Is that a boring item? What's fascinating about that item? What's fascinating about that person? Why is that person fascinating? Why is that item fascinating? And then again, if we are tracing the thing or the person back to the source, to God himself, the creator, then not only are we not going to be bored, we're also going to be very thankful.
Absolutely. So in the back of the book, it includes a special section for parents, which is a great resource on helping children learn to be thankful. Tell us about that section in the book that helps parents.
There's just some ideas to talk to your kids about recognizing that everything comes from God. And when our kids were little, I mean, they're on the playground and our oldest was, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. And I'm not having a discussion about creation and thankfulness, but I am saying, like, wow, buddy, who made your arms that strong? Look what you just did. Wow, you're fast. Who made those muscles to make you fast? We're having those kind of conversations. We just always want to be pointing back to God in everything we do, because Christian parents, we want to point our kids to God, right? So we take them to church and they have Sunday school lessons and we talk about what you learned today on the way home from church. But then we kind of go back into real life, right? Where we're watching football or we're playing tag in the backyard or we're going on hikes as a family or we're going to the beach or enjoying, you know, a Friday night out having pizza. Well, he made all those things too. And so whatever we can do as moms and dads to connect in our children's minds, the world that God has made with the God who made it. We do it with the word of God, but what about the world that God has made? And the more we can do that, yes, we're cultivating thankfulness, but that's kind of our job, is to always help them connect those dots. And that's what the back of the book gives some ideas for how to do that.
I love that. In my new book, Raising Kids to Follow Christ, it's all about organically, day by day, connecting your children to Christ and Jesus and the Spirit and God the Father. Because organically, day by day, we need to connect our children's hearts and minds to the one that who created them and who loves them. If we want them to grow up to be strong faith believers and have a lifelong faith in God and a relationship with him. Like you said, we leave Sunday from church. A lot of families go home, and I was guilty of this, but I realized I could have done more. I wish I did more, but thank God my children are a believer. But we'd come home and then we get busy in our lives, but there's nothing more important than thanking God, appreciating God, loving God, and acknowledging God as a family every single day. So this book is really, really another ballpark hit home run, champ. I'm telling you, I love your books. You have great resources. And speaking of a resource, tell us about your board book, A 5 Senses Countdown to Calm You Count.
Yeah. So You Count is a board book that I came up with during COVID. I was emailing some friends who are counselors and therapists for children and said, what are you noticing? And like these days, I feel like we all have a sense of, wow, there was a spike and there is a spike in anxiety and in emotional issues for children. And we all kind of recognize that. We didn't quite hear and see all that several years ago. But the counselors were, and they were telling me some of the things that we're aware of now. And one of the tools they use in helping children get a kind of grip on their inside world is by helping them first get a grip on their outside world. And so they'll say, okay, using your five senses, what are five things in this room that you can see and four things that you can hear and three things that you can touch and two things you can smell and one thing you can taste. And they kind of walk the children down into a state where now they're a little bit more composed and now they can talk to them. And address the anxieties and the distress that they might be in at that particular moment. And so this book grabs that idea of counting. So it's for preschoolers and toddlers. And so there's counting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's the five senses. There's some little hidden Easter eggs on the page that kids can find and point to. And it's full of sounds and other sensory fun things. And a mama bear and a little bear walk through this countdown. And then she pauses and says, okay, let's talk about what you've done. You've counted down. But who made those senses? God made all those senses, but God also made how you feel. He made emotions, and those are real, and we should honor those. And let's talk about how God meets us in our feelings, those big feelings that we have as adults, but also even as little people. And so in the book basically ends up by saying, you count to me, your emotions count to me, and your emotions and you count to God as well. And so it's a little bit of a pun on the idea of counting, right? So you're counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but then also you count to God as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it. And I think it's a great book to start kids, to calm them down, then to talk about their big emotions, what they're feeling. Another wonderful resource. Well, anything else coming out in the horizon? Anything new that we should be anticipating?
Nothing coming out for a couple years. I've got a middle school biography of Eric Little coming out in a couple years, another book on 10 questions about salvation for late elementary and middle school aged kids. So we always have big questions about, like, what is salvation? And did I believe enough? And what does it mean to repent? And can I lose my salvation? And, you know, things like that. And so those are still a couple years down the road, but I'm looking forward to seeing those come out when they do.
Yeah, that's really important. I can't wait to have you back on the show to talk about those, because I just recently read George Barna's Raising Spiritual Champions, and the statistics are alarming. You know, 70% of kids don't even believe that Satan exists. These are teenagers between 13 and 14. Wow. So we have to address those issues. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, Leanne, I'm always good talking with you, and I appreciate you having me on today. Thanks for the great conversation and the encouraging words about these books. I hope they're a blessing to families.
They are. They're wonderful. And we'll have links to where people can purchase them. And this is how we all work together to raise strong Christian kids.
Did you know that 84% of teens don't believe we are born into sin and need salvation? Are you looking for fun and engaging ways to help children build a strong foundation in Christ that lasts a lifetime? Raising kids to follow Christ, instilling a lifelong trust in God, will help you help your child stay strong as they face this ever-increasing anti-Christian humanistic culture. Raising Kids to Follow Christ is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and in Christian bookstores. It's about the salvation of our children and the preservation of Christianity.